Let's talk about a candidate you have talked about, Herschel Walker, the leading GOP candidate in the vital Senate race in Georgia. You endorsed him, yet his ex-wife says he pointed a pistol at her head and said, "I'm going to blow your effing brains out." And an ex-girlfriend has accused him of threatening her life. Why is he a suitable candidate?
Herschel Walker has addressed that issue repeatedly over the last 10 years. I think he's...
It's a heck of an issue.
Well, he had he admitted he had some troubles in his life. He's been an exemplary citizen in recent years. He's a hero in Georgia. Almost every candidate's had troubled periods.
I mean, I don't know that almost every candidate has pointed...
Look, I don't want to argue with it. I think Walker is completely electable. He's actually ahead at the beginning of this race, and we're fully behind him.
How did you, absorbing those very troubling allegations, talk me through your process for coming to the conclusion that you could put your name, Mitch McConnell...
Yeah, well, I did that, and I've endorsed him.
But how?
How?
Yeah, because one of your top operatives on the outside, Josh Holmes, when the first story came out with all this, he said, "Oh, I've never seen, this is terrible." How did you go from, I assume you had a similar, maybe you didn't, maybe you thought it was fine, but I doubt you did. How did you come from that to supporting him?
The way I always do, a variety of different considerations. Every candidate has flaws and assets. This candidate has a lot of assets and is very competitive and has a great chance of
Dude, Jonathan Swan is the best. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
That Mitch McConnell reaction is definitely the reaction of a guy who does not get pushback in any interview he does ever.
Dude, but how?
Yeah.
How did you come to that conclusion?
This is
a guy, what? Huh?
That big pregnant pause.
Yeah. That huge pregnant pause, like, oof. No one's ever asked me that. Like, yeah, dude.
as usual, when Jonathan Swan interviews a notable politician, it is worth going out of your way to seek out some of the interview. He talks about Eric Greitens in the interview as well.
Oh, boy.
He talks about Clarence Thomas and with Mitch McConnell and things of that nature. It just kind of lays McConnell out for who McConnell is. But it's just interesting watching him not just get softballed, because it seems like that's pretty much all we see from Mitch McConnell, which begs the question why he would agree to do an onstage, you know, like interview.
Yeah, and live in front of a studio and live in front of an audience. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah. like with a notably tough interviewer, Jonathan Swan.
Right.
I just love how understated, you know, McConnell's like, you know, he's had some issues, and Swan's like, it's a heck of an issue.
he literally
threatened to kill his ex-wife. I was like, but you know, and then somehow that gets baked around like, oh, you know, every candidate has some flaws, Jay.
Yeah. They're all holding a gun up to their ex-wife's head and saying, I'll blow your brains out.
Some of them smoked weed. Some of them threatened attempted murder, you know, but some flaws, you know, on all across the board.
Six and a half, you know, six and a half.
Some of them used to be a Democrat, if you can believe it. The biggest sin of them all.
That was hilarious. That's a pretty big flaw. Like, what the fuck, man? Jesus. Six on one hand, half a dozen on the other. You know, attempted murder, fucking smoking weed. Like, wow. Just wow. Yeah, I need to watch that entire interview. That's a pretty good cold open. I liked it. let's dig right in. We got plenty to talk about this week.
This week's theme is, so like 2 weeks ago, the theme was a bit of anger. Last week it was stupidity, and I think this week's theme is frustration. I think that's the through line through.
Yeah, that feels right.
Stories.
Yeah, that feels right. Like what are we doing? Just what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah.
So straight up, first story, this title, I think they use a word that they're trying desperately to understand what's happening themselves. This is from the Miami Herald, which is a very good paper, by the way.
I don't think the word they use is strong enough.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it feels like they're trying to like wrap their head around what's happening, but they don't want to write the fuck as the headline.
I feel like the word unusual in this headline is actually doing the lifting of batshit crazy.
Right, right, exactly. Just like, dude, you can just write what the fuck. It's fine. Like, if the title of this article was Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, that would be fine. Like, I'd be like, that makes sense. Florida legislature makes unusual move, says Ron DeSantis will map the Florida congressional districts. So here's a better way of saying that. The Florida legislature said, hey, Ron DeSantis, why don't you get to choose your voters?
Choose our voters.
Yeah, and our voters, right?
Yeah, like choose the voters for the congressional representatives that go to Congress.
Yeah, which is nuts, right?
It's all because the map that was drawn by Republicans
isn't
racist enough.
Right, exactly.
Well, there's still more racism to be found.
Well, look, you gotta get to all that schism, like at the bottom of the pot.
Get the maximum amount of racism that we can squeeze it like a Florida orange out of this congressional map.
Right. It's like, you know, like when you ever if you actually follow recipes or whatever, they ask you to like deglaze the pan. You gotta scrape those brown bits. Like, that's what Ron DeSantis is trying to do. He's trying to scrape all the brown bits out of Florida as much as he can. Yeah, this did start with Ron DeSantis basically saying like, or, you know, basically like, look, this isn't racist enough. I need a little bit more of that schism. But what it really comes down to is he's trying to get rid of two districts that have black representatives, including Val Demings district, incidentally, who is running for Senate for Florida. How convenient, right?
Well, and
so in case she loses, he'd like to just throw her out of politics altogether.
Well, I mean, if she loses, she's not going to be. She wouldn't have that seat anyway. Like, he's just making sure that whoever replaces her is not going to be.
Well, that's true. That's right.
You know, it's not going to be like her. I find this an interesting corollary, because one of the things that we pointed out when Trump was in power is that the Republicans had basically done what the founders and pretty much the previous 220 years of American political history would have found unthinkable. Right. And the people in Congress, Republicans in Congress, basically deferred their power, their Article I power, to the president. And basically like deferred everything to them, when most other Congresses, whether the president was a member of their party or not, prided themselves in holding the executive branch in check. Right. The whole, you know, separation of powers being kind of the bedrock of American democracy.
So overdone.
So Florida Republicans are basically doing the same thing with, you know, Trump 2.0, essentially. A guy whose face, I have to tell you, I am sick and tired of fucking seeing at this point.
It's pretty punchable. Like,
yeah.
You know, as the crow flies, I hate him. Like, I've hated him last week. I've hated him weeks before, months before, and I hate his face every day that I have to see it. Like, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Giving up power, legislatures giving up power to the executive branch is one of the weirdest Republican phenomenons I have ever seen in politics. Like, DeSantis pulls a move by like, look, this isn't working for me. I don't like it. I'm rejecting it. One, why the governor gets to reject the map is weird. Like, that's a very weird rule.
Every state's fucking different. And
no, again, I get that.
They should all be given independent commissions, but, you know.
Right. Like, it's like governors are a part of a political party. Why would they not abuse this?
Right.
Like, it makes no sense to try. And that's...
That's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
The legislature is like, I feel like why are we beating around the bush? Why don't we just get to the show and just give this guy the fucking power that he wants? So they're basically like, look, why doesn't your office draw the map? You send it back to us. We'll see if we're cool with it. Wink, wink. We definitely will be. And then we'll get away from all this like back and forth bullshit, right? Why is he even involved? Why is the governor even involved? It is unbelievably reckless to have a rule like that. This all nationwide, right? And obviously it has to be done state by state, but nationwide, this should be independent commissions who come in and do this shit. Like,
yeah.
Just period. It should, and as independent as you can get it, right? This should basically be done by computers. It should not be done by any human being with any sort of political interest.
Well, and what's funny, and because we're making the Trump corollary, and we can make it now. The reason that Florida Republicans are doing this is because they're afraid of him, because they're afraid of him campaigning against them for a primary challenge on the right, because somehow Ron DeSantis now like has the fucking juice in Florida politics, which is insane to me that's true. Crazy. Because again, this guy was a fucking lame-o from Jump Street.
Yeah, he was.
Like, he was the worst.
I guess for me, it reinforces the Republican ideal that I've long stated on a national level, which is Republicans want a daddy. And actually, that's actually true for their voters too. As much as they call, you know, Democrats the nanny state or whatever, the one thing they love to do is like put on a hat that says like "I love my dad" or "MAGA" or whatever fucking bullshit, right? they love that stuff. And Ron DeSantis is just another version of this sort of fake tough dad persona that they just cannot help but to cower to. The second they get it, you know, the opportunity. And it's not because he's strong. It's not because he's strong. It's just because he's in this particular position.
And that's the thing. Like, Trump, at least, say what you will, at least had the fame, the persona.
He actually had the juice. Like, he had the juice. Like, he's a charismatic guy. He's an idiot. But one thing you can't take away from him is he has charisma. Yeah. Right, like, I don't buy it because I'm not impressed by a moron, but Republicans clearly are, this being yet another example of that. Yeah. But he did have charisma, like he just did. Reagan had charisma, like he did. Doesn't make him good at the job, though. Yeah. I'm curious as to how this is going to go down. I mean, I have my guesses, which is Ron DeSantis will draw a bullshit map. He will eliminate the two districts that he wants to that are heavily black districts, thus throwing them into one district so that he can just, you know, pump all the black votes as much into one district as he can to eliminate their power. That's my guess. That's what will happen.
And again, like, Republicans don't have to capitulate here. Like, they could, like, they passed a map in a pretty unified fashion that they thought was good. And if they wanted to, like, he vetoed it, but they could easily just override it. Like, that's kind of the whole, that's kind of the whole deal. And if you fight collectively as a unit, what the fuck is he going to do? Campaign against all of you? Doubtful. Like, it's like, I don't think he's going to go fucking on a rampage against the entire sitting Republican Florida legislature.
No, he needs that.
So the fact that they capitulated to him when they don't need to is the part that's embarrassing, unless many of them are trying to curry favor for a hypothetical, like, presidential bid at some point.
There you go. No, I think that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And that, to me, feels pretty pathetic. But I mean, look, these guys are craven, right? Like, they are just dying to be in his pocket. Like, they want to be in his pocket so bad. They want to go on that ride with him. Look, Ron DeSantis is a lot of things, all of them negative. But like, if he made it to the national stage and he was the Republican nominee, he's got a chance to win because Republicans will just vote for any Republican who is presented to them. They don't really push back on that. But I think he's so reprehensible that he opened up Pandora's box on one issue and one issue only that will get Democrats fucking fired up. It's gay rights. It will get Democrats fired up because, like, we won that. Like, we won that. We won that fight on gay marriage. We won that fight. We fought tooth and nail and we won it. People are not going to go back on that shit. They're not. Like, it's not one of those. And I say that even in the, sort of the twilight of watching Roe versus Wade likely dying, this is a thing this generation won, right? It's very easy to forget the power and the strength of legislation or Supreme Court decisions when it happened 30 or, 50 years ago, right? Like, it's very easy to forget about that. But this happened very recently. Like, this is our generation's win. They're not going to settle for that. Like, Ron DeSantis gets the nomination, people are going to be like, nah, fuck that guy. You'll see the same fervor that you saw against Trump in 2020. They don't want
that. We may not settle for it, but we might not have a choice in the matter, in all honesty. So that's the worrying part.
I'm saying they'll fight like hell against it. Like, you won't see people just being like, what's the difference? Like, no, that not with him. No, I don't think so.
But that's my big fear is that this, and actually we'll talk about it later because it's going to come up later. But the Republicans are using Roe. They're going to use Roe for more than just Roe if they get their way with it.
Oh, so. Yeah. It's setting a precedent. Of course. Yep. No, look, the party is never over, man. Get the fuck out of here. This next story, I want to touch on just a little bit. It's fascinating. The Guardian has a story about how in Ohio, some Republicans are calling for Ohio Supreme Court Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor to be impeached because she is refusing to let them distort electoral districts to their advantage. But she's actually a Republican judge. Like, she's a conservative judge. But because she doesn't think it's cool to just draw the maps completely in your favor in Ohio, they're like, this woman needs to be impeached. she's the worst judge ever. Since January, Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor has served as a decisive vote on the three separate occasions blocking Ohio Republicans from enacting proposed state legislative maps. She also sided with the Democrats to block an initial GOP proposal for congressional districts before going into effect in January. Those decisions have prompted chatter among Republicans about impeaching O'Connor, who is 70, who will leave the court after nearly two decades at the end of the year because she has reached the mandatory retirement age of judges in Ohio. They can't even wait until January. That's how bad they want her the fuck out of there.
I'm sorry. I just heard the phrase mandatory retirement age.
I know.
So it's fantastic.
I know. I can't get more erect. Yeah. No, that's like that needs to be a thing. I mean, yeah, I'm even okay with letting it be past 70. 75.
No, 70's good.
70's You're good with 70?
I'm fine with 70. I think it's a great age.
65
is still you still get 15 to 20 years to fucking live out your twilight years.
Yeah. Yeah. Retirement. 65 is good for me. Like,
I mean, look. Yes, also, but let's be realistic here. You know what? Let's institute that for the Supreme Court tomorrow. 70 being the retirement age. Let's do it.
Oof, you clear a lot, dude. That's like
Ketanji, two in particular.
Yeah, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Elaine Keegan, like they're fine. Sonia Sotomayor, I think is fine.
She's in her sixties.
So right?
A few years.
Sam Alito, you're done, son. Like
and Clarence Thomas.
And Clarence Thomas, it's a wrap for you today. Like let's go. We're done here. So yeah, I love it. I am more than okay with it.
But yeah, this is some petty bullshit, though.
Yeah, of course it is.
This is the petty bullshit.
Now, keep in mind, if you did retirement age of 70, Republicans would just start putting 30-year-olds on the.
That's true. Oh, you just graduated law school, SCOTUS justice. There you go. Like, just make sure you vote for us.
Yeah, like, so. All right. You're 20.
No, but I'm saying them trying to impeach this judge is petty as fuck, though. Just because she's not letting them jam through fucking gross, obviously gerrymandered maps.
Right. And that's the only reason why I put the story on there. Like, again, she's leaving in January. It's not like, oh, well, she's bad at her job. She's a general. It's just because she won't side with them on redistricting so that they can fuck Ohio and get total control of the legislature without any level of opposition. Republicans have gone into hyperspeed when it comes to fascist sort of behavior. Like, they're not even hiding it anymore. Like, back in the day, Republicans would have been like, all right, let's, like, are there a way, like, maybe we could dig up a scandal about this judge, right? Like, let's come up with something. Now they're just like, no, let's just impeach her. Let's just be done with it. We're done. Like, what's the reason? Well, she's, objection, this is devastating to my case, right? Like, that's all they have. Like, they don't have anything else. It's not like she's ruling, like, outlandishly or anything like that. She just... Yeah. Doesn't think you should rig the election for only Republicans to win. That's enough for them at this point. So,
yeah,
that's the only reason why I brought that story up. I just found that fascinating. Just in the wake of the DeSantis thing, right? Like, he gets to draw the maps. Here, this woman's like, yeah, I don't think we should do this. And Republicans are like, nah, fuck that. Get out of here. But that, like, they don't believe, unless they are winning absolutely, they think everything is bullshit. It's like, it's not worthy of keeping those systems. Which is why they've already moved away from democracy, because democracy doesn't work for them to have total rule.
Like, it doesn't work for them to have any rule, really. Like, if we're being straight about, like, democracy, like, they wouldn't, if things were even Steven, they wouldn't win jack shit.
No, they would not.
So,
all right, next story. I have not read this.
So yeah, this came through today, and it's been pretty quiet, which is quite shocking. That this hasn't really been, like, shouted from the rooftops more. So, in Oklahoma, the governor of Oklahoma, Kevin Stitt, signed a bill into law today.
By the way, I've never seen this guy a day in my life. Like, just incidentally.
Well, you'll probably start seeing a lot of them soon.
Yeah,
unfortunately. Because they signed a law that bans abortion outright in the state of Oklahoma by making it a felony to perform an abortion that's punishable by up to 10 years in prison. Currently, the only exception for an abortion to be performed legally without risk of felony charges is if it's to save the life of the mother. There is no heartbeat law. There's no, like, pregnant, you know, term limit law or anything like that. The only reason is to save the life of the mother. Otherwise, you might go to jail if you perform a otherwise legal abortion in the state.
Yeah. I mean, obviously this will be challenged, but that's the point, right?
That is the entire point.
Again,
so, they're going for it. They're going for it.
They're going for it. But again, I'm going to need people to own the fact that you didn't take this shit seriously in 2016. You got to own the fact that you didn't take it seriously, that you didn't think this was a big deal. I remember the whatever that jackass's name is from the Bad Faith podcast. She said, she deleted that tweet, right? Saying that, you know, it's overblown that we're worried about the SCOTUS. It's overblown. As if Trump winning wouldn't directly affect the SCOTUS. Like, what do you mean it's overblown? Like, whatever case you think is relevant or not relevant, it's not overblown. It's 100% properly blown. So, like, I just never politically, that just never made any sense. She was too busy. She was too busy being, like, anti to, like, really realize what she was saying, I guess. Or she could just be stupid. I mean, that's also a decent possibility. But I think people need to really recognize that. Like, when you decided that this wasn't a big deal, that it didn't matter if it was Trump or Clinton, this was the inevitable outcome. Like, Trump got, what, 2 or 3 seats on the Supreme Court?
Yep.
Yeah, so...
He got 3. He got 3.
3, right. So it's just like, what did you
do? Two of which were legit on top of that.
Yeah,
like,
right.
One of them
stole
obviously
one.
Wasn't.
Yeah, they just stole one. But because that one was held in limbo, of course he was going to steal that one. That was right for the taking. And then he put in two garbage two garbage bags as Supreme Court justices, who are both in their 50s. So, you know, good.
And again, we've already seen kind of the ill effects of laws like this. There was the story that happened over the weekend where the woman in Texas was arrested because she had a stillborn birth that people thought that she basically like did something to cause an abortion to happen on herself and was literally arrested. The attorney general's office declined to prosecute. But, you know, this is the kind of shit that you're going to see with these bullshit laws, because, again, abortions aren't going to stop. It's not like abortions didn't exist in the country until Roe versus Wade, and then magically, like, abortions started happening everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
everybody were getting them.
Yeah, people were getting abortions. They were just a lot more dangerous because a lot of people weren't getting them through, you know, medical means, proper medical means. So,
I mean, rich conservative women definitely were, though.
Well, it's the same bullshit as, you know, making marijuana legal in the country. Well, marijuana is already legal if you're white. Like, it's only making it legal for everyone else. That is what we're trying to do.
John Mulaney has a great joke about that. He's like, I got busted with a one-hitter at a Rusted Roots concert. I didn't do hard time. It's always been legal for us. Yeah, like he's not wrong. Like it's absolutely.
Yeah, if you're a middle class fucking white kid, you can get weed anywhere and do whatever. It's fine. It's not really a big fucking deal.
Look, the first place I ever saw people having weed wasn't a black kid; it was a white kid. I was like, really? It's like, yeah, dude. I was like, we're in middle school. Yeah. Well, my parents give me $50 a week in middle school. Wow, you're rich. And then they just go buy weed.
Well, this kind of dovetails nicely into the next story. So one of the things, you know, that made a lot of news a couple months ago is Texas signing the law that basically called like parents giving, you know, therapies to their kids that are transsexual, equated it to child abuse and said that those had to be investigated. And so the knock-on effect of that, not only are you fucking trying to terrorize trans kids and their families in Texas and causing a lot of people to flee the state because of that shit, and understandably so.
Yeah.
But a lot of people in Texas's like social welfare offices that are in charge of performing these investigations are having a moral fucking panic about it. A lot of them are leaving the agency, and now you're shorthanded to investigate actual child abuse allegations because you're too busy investigating bullshit.
Right. Well, Brad, I mean, that's a shocking consequence from a party who really, really cares about child safety.
And not only that, but always thinks through completely all of the laws they try to pass. They truly, Jay, don't just think about the immediate impact that they want to have. They think of all of the knock-on effects that will happen, as any responsible legislator would. As we said before, Republican Party, the party incapable of seeing past the tree that is 2 feet in front of their face.
Yeah, I like they spend so much time yelling and complaining about fictional problems, or not even, I won't say fictional problems, that's not true, overblowing problems, right? Yeah. Like, everyone's a groomer, everyone is a, you know, is a pedophile and all this other stuff. They spend so much time yelling and screaming about these things, which are clearly not true. Obviously not, you know, yes, it's a problem. Like, you know, it's not as widespread. That's nuts, right? Like, they spend so much time doing that that they actually end up making holes in systems to allow for those kind of things to continue.
Yeah, we've seen that too with child trafficking, because like there are so many fucking Q nutters that are reporting bullshit, you know, trafficking nonsense. That there's only so many resources that these agencies have to perform these investigations. So when you are basically calling in false alarms, when you're crying wolf constantly, even if you don't realize you're crying wolf, you are actively harming actual situations that might actually be happening.
That's absolutely right. And it's sometimes I think maybe it's on purpose. Like I can't help but think that, considering how many of these people are desperately connected to the sexual abuse of young people and children specifically.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be like, I don't want to be conspiratorial. I just want to, you know, just look at it sort of objectively.
And I think it's just mostly just, smart.
It's just, right. I think it's mostly just general incompetence.
Yeah. I don't think they're smart enough for it to be some grandiose plan like that. Like that was always the thing about people like, you know, like people that were wary of Trump that were just like, oh, he's trying to do this and this. Like he's playing 4D chess. I'm like, he's an idiot. He's not that smart. Like he's like, it would hurt you to say, surely he can't be this dumb. There must be some malevolent reason that he's doing this thing. When in reality, no, he actually just is that stupid. Like, that's literally
he just doesn't, what he doesn't is. Understand things. Like, just basic shit. He just doesn't understand. And it just so happens that it looks so malevolent because we're used, like, and I blame TV slightly for this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, that idea of like, the goofy villain, but also has like these like things that he's like really smart about. Like that's not in reality. That's not how it is. Like generally people are who they present themselves to be. Right.
Like, well, we kind of had that with like George Bush, you know, we talk about a lot is how he always portrayed himself as this like really, really, you know, folksy all shucks, you know, all like strategery, like that kind of bullshit. But he was a lot, you know, he was a little bit craftier than he let on. And he was very aware that like that persona that he brought forward was intentional because when you see that, you tend to kind of like let your guard down a little bit. So.
Yep, exactly. Now, that doesn't mean he's not, I mean, he is kind of stupid. He's not as stupid as he portrayed himself to be.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yeah.
But like,
About this Texas child welfare story, it's an article in the Texas Tribune. It's a pretty good article because they talked to a few folks that resigned from there. One of them was a trans man who was one of the people that was in charge of carrying these out. And he was like, you know, I was actually kind of glad, you know, that it was me that's doing this. Cause I figure like, if I go into a house and they see a transsexual man coming in, like, you know, I'll understand them a little bit. And he said, one of the parents' lawyers, when he was in there, you know, they told him like, I know your intentions are good, but by walking in the door as a representative for the state, you're saying in a sense that you condone this and that you agree with it. And he was like, that kind of struck me. And he's like, yeah, you're right. Like by even participating in this, it's basically a form of implicit consent in a lot of ways. So, and so he left.
I mean, can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Can you imagine? That would be like me going, like being hired by the government. And then all of a sudden they change the role that I do. And it's just like going and like evicting poor black people out of their houses.
Yeah.
No, I'd be like, nah, yo, like, what does this job pay? Not enough. Like, just not enough. Like, I'm not, like, innocent poor black people just like, all right, time to get your shit out. Like, I just couldn't do that. Like, morally, I couldn't do that. And, yeah, I get this guy's perspective. I totally understand. I'd be like,
well, nah, like I said, the vast majority of us are very fortunate that we will never have to experience, like, a professional crisis of faith, essentially. Yeah. In that way. So. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. So look, man, we are running headfirst into a scenario that I think is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
This country will split. We are, I don't know if it'll be via a gun type of scenario or will it just be, we're done here, right? Like, and I hope that it's the latter. I truly, truly hope it is.
I think you're already kind of starting to see that, though. Like I feel like you're already starting to see the natural, like when you're actively oppressing a group of people.
I think people are tired, man.
People are just gonna be like, well, some people just don't have the energy to sit there and fight and protest and do this sort of thing. And they're like, you know, I'm just going to move. Like, I'm just going to move to a place that's more tolerant of me or my family.
But I think they should. I think they should. Like there are parts of the United States that are fucking reasonable. There are. Like, look, America's not perfect by any means. But if you live in the South, you live in Texas, you live in Florida or any of these other places, and they're enacting these laws like, hey, transgender people aren't people and we got to like go after them, or you can't talk to kids that tell kids that gay people exist, move. I know it ain't easy. I'm not pretending that it is or anything like that, but move.
Well, and move. That's the other thing is too, like talking about the Florida bill, you're going to get teachers that resign from this or get fired because of this. Do you really think that like you have better teachers just waiting in the wings, like where you get tagged in to
this situation? There's already a teacher crisis because of COVID. There's already a teacher crisis. Like, listen, the way that Republicans are conflating this law, this don't say gay law, versus what the reality is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, you know, we don't want, like, if you listen to Republicans, like Republican voters talk about this because they don't know shit. Shocking news. They talk about it as if they are this law is protecting kids from like in kindergarten to third grade, learning about like gay men like to fuck like this. Like, here's images. Have you seen Pornhub? It's awesome. Like, that's not what the law is. Like, it's not protecting them from that. Like, none of and what I mean by that is like, no one is suggesting that. That's fucking nuts.
Right.
The law is that you can't mention that these people exist. And I heard the best argument, and it's an argument I've absolutely made in my mind, but this guy articulated, I thought, really well, which was, so you're going to say that you're not going to tell kindergarten to third graders that gay people exist. Okay. Because you don't want to talk about like sexual relationships. Are you going to tell them that straight people exist?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he said, like he said that in this video, and he got all these comments are like, well, I don't think they should be talking about any of that stuff to kindergarten to third grades. Keep in mind, it's not about people having sex. It's just that straight or gay people or trans people exist.
Right.
Exist.
So you like, can't talk about like the example that I saw, like in when they were debating this in the Florida legislature, you can't mention if you have a wife.
Yeah, moms husband, and dads.
Because that infers that like if you're a man, you're like, oh, my wife, that you're inferring that you're straight.
And that's so exactly what he said. He was like, when I was growing up, and this is absolutely true for everybody, when I was growing up, my first second grade teacher was like, you know, I have, you know, this is my husband, this is my wife, like talking about their, talking about their spouse, right? Like you're teaching lessons about moms and dads and relationships to kids.
Yeah.
We talk about, straight is clearly the default because the vast majority of people in this country are straight. The vast majority of people in the world are straight. That's why there's too many people in the fucking world, right? We already know that. But people, there are gay people. There are people who fall under queer, right? Like that would be probably the best umbrella I can give. That they fall under that. Why are we pretending they don't exist? Hey, no one is asking you to teach your kid about like how people fuck. Like no one's asking that. My daughter, who is not even 3 years old at this point, has a book called The Gay BCs, right? It's a lovely book. It goes through the alphabet and each letter is assigned. It deals with, you know, words in, you know, this sort of LGBTQ community, right? A is for ally, B is for bi, you know, that sort of thing, right? She has never asked, like, well, why is that? Like, explain to me the sexual situation, Dad. Like, she never does that. We go, in this book, you know, this is talking about, you know, people who are gay. That's when a girl likes a girl or a boy likes a boy. And she's like, oh, okay.
And well, like, and I mean, what it really boils down to is
be a fucking human being.
Yeah. What it really draws back to is the mistaken belief that, you know, Republicans seem to think, religious people seem to think that, you know, homosexuality, transsexuality, things of that nature is a choice. Like it's something that you choose to do. Like, and they think that if you plant the idea or plant the knowledge, like even the existence of the idea into the brain of a child, that they might one day choose to be gay or choose to be transsexual. When again, it's not really a choice.
No.
It's just kind of what you are or who you are.
I love that idea, right? I just love that idea. Well, if you tell somebody they are, then they're definitely going to become that. Like, what? If you hang out with gay people, then you might be gay. Yes, like I hang out with a bunch of tall people, and I'm, I'm growing a foot every week.
Please show me the trans kid who's like, you know what? I've been having a pretty good life so far, but what I'm really lacking is just getting bullied and mocked and fucking misunderstood by my peers. Yeah, like that's really what I'm looking for here. So let me go ahead and make this choice.
Yeah, it's like you're a teenager, right? Like a lot of people who realize that they're trans or, you know, sort of have that revelation, or decide that some people have that revelation and some people have always had it and they're now ready to be public about it. Right. I'm trying to be as sensitive to it as I can. A lot of that happens like in teen years, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Nothing is better than being an awkward teenager and then wanting to throw being gay or trans on top of that. Cause kids love to be pointed out and shunned at 14 years old. That's their favorite fucking thing ever.
Teenagers, notably the most understanding and welcoming class of people in all of society, let me tell
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Incidentally, ironically, teens actually are better than their parents.
Teens today are like that.
They are better.
Teens in our generation, not so much.
I was one of the said teens. Okay. Yeah. Like, I'm not one of these people on the internet who pretends like I was perfect the entire time growing up. I mean, I'm perfect now. That's different, but not back then, obviously. But yeah, look, man, I saw this video today on like Reddit where this guy is like some, like, of course he's an anti-vaxxer too. Of course. And he's like, some virulent fucking bigot. And he like goes around and he's like, I'm hunting gay people. And he's like, goes into restaurants and be like, you see any queers around here or whatever? And I'm watching the video. He's white. Shocking news.
That was implied. You didn't have to specify.
Right. It's for our fans. Our fans. thought I would leave that one out there. And I'm like, he goes to like a McDonald's or whatever and like asks the cashier, you seen any queers around here or whatever? Fucking horseshit. And I'm thinking to myself, why don't you just go to like New York City with this bullshit? And like, see how well it rocks there. Like, I get it. You live in your like podunk town in the Midwest or whatever, where everybody, or in the South, where everybody that you know shares those same viewpoints. Well, go on to a big city. Come on. All right. Come on to a big city. Talk that shit. See what happens to you, dude. Like, you know, you live in a very, very large,
very safe space. Yeah.
You do.
Safe space.
You talk all, talk that shit, man. Go ahead. Come on up to New York City. Come on to Baltimore. Talk that shit in certain parts of Baltimore. You might, okay. Like, going over to Charles Street, where all the transgender prostitutes are. You catch your ass an ass whooping, man. Like, go ahead. Talk that shit. So, like, I'm always amazed by the cowardice of bigotry. Like that is a universal thing. Like there are very few bigots who are like, I'll say it to their face. No, they won't. I know you won't, dude. No, you won't. Because you're scared. Like you're going to say it to all your friends.
Like, well, and they don't do it because we've all seen those videos of like the fucking racist white people that'll like, you know, say the N-word to the face of a black person and then get fucking wrecked on a cell phone camera.
It's, I mean, it, like, I'll just say it on the show. I mean, I could get off to that every day. I can watch a Nazi get beat up every day. Like, oh, I don't even need pants for this. Like, get the fuck out of here. One of my favorite clips of all time is like that clip of that Nazi talking to the, like a black dude. He was like, no, it's okay. Cause he was wearing a Nazi armband. He's like, no, it's okay. And like, and he puts his hand out to the black guy and the black guy just fucking decks him and knocks him out. And he says, I didn't hear a fucking word you said. Like, it's awesome. It's a great clip. It's awesome. It's phenomenal. Like, all right, dude. Like, We're not here to have a conversation. It's wonderful. I remember Andy posted that like on my page at one point on Facebook, and my father-in-law, he was like, he commented, I can't stop watching this, which is hilarious. And he's in his 80s. I was like, yeah, because he's a man of color too. Like, yo, fuck Nazis. I watch a young Nazi get knocked out every day for the rest of my life. In the words of Paul Mooney, it keeps my teeth white. Like, it's it's fine. It's fine. Next up, this I thought was funny, right? This is sort of a lighthearted moment with a thread of truth. Because I think it's important to kind of understand, I know comedy is like a problem for a lot of people, right? But comedy does have a thread of truth in it, right? Some comedy does. So prominent GOP pollster Frank Luntz said in a recent interview that Republicans in private are mocking former President Trump, and they are, quote, tired of going back and rehashing the 2020 election. That part, not surprising. Look, these guys are like, okay, let's fucking get Democrats. They're tired of talking about that shit. Dude, you lost. Like, you lost. They just can't say the shit publicly. Makes all sense in the world. Luntz said that he was not surprised by comments made by New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu, who is a Republican, that gained attention at the Gridiron Club's annual dinner. Now, this is like a roast, right? This is like a political roast kind of dinner. Sununu said, quote, talking about Trump, he's fucking crazy. I don't think he's so crazy that they could put him in a mental institution, he added. But I think if he were in one, he ain't getting out, which I thought was pretty great. So he says, look, Luntz says, I don't know a single Republican who was surprised by what Sununu said. He said what they were thinking. They won't say it in public, but behind his back, they think he's a child.
It's kind of been like that, significant. It was like that the whole time, though, that he was president.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, like it I think it came up on Hayes the other night, where he was talking about the fact that, you know, if you're Lindsey Graham, Marco Rubio, like those guys that ran against him in the primary, and some of the shit they said, like when they were trash talking,
I think it's crazy.
Right. you don't just flip a switch on that just because the dude wins and it's like, oh, I was wrong the whole time. Like, no, you probably still believe it.
Oh, but
you just have to toe the line.
Yep.
I mean, and again, we saw a glimpse of that on the sixth. Like, you know, Kevin McCarthy's calling this guy. Kevin McCarthy grows a spine for the first time in his life, and he's telling Trump to, you know, fucking do something. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like this is insane. And then, like, when confronted with that, he's like, I'm not going to talk about what I said to the president. You know, that kind of thing. Like he can't even stand by it, even though it was reported, you know, that he said those things. So this isn't new. We're always going to get this because, again, they fear him to some extent because they think that he still pulls the strings of a lot of Republican voters.
You think he does? Well, we're going to find out for sure
in November, aren't we? Because we're going to see how a lot of his preferred candidates sooner than that, because we're going to see how a lot of his preferred candidates perform in primaries.
Yeah.
And then on to the general election for those that win in competitive states to see, does he actually still have stroke in that party with voters? We'll see. I know a lot of Republicans voters that would be just as well to just not have to deal with the fucking antics anymore.
I mean, that was always their thing. Is they liked the bullshit he did, but they were like, please stop tweeting. Like, I remember that was a large part of what they didn't like about him, which to me is just like, stop talking in public. Like, that's really what it, because like his tweets, while insane, were not that different than him talking. Like, it was equally just maddening and silly shit. So, okay. All right. I found that article to be interesting. But it has a significant kernel of truth to it.
And there's always every political party is going to have spin, right? Like, you're always going to have people that are going out there and spinning the message. people that are in support of Donald Trump have to literally like go on TV and go on, you know, the podcast and stuff like that, and literally like defy reality. Like Devin Nunes was on Fox over the weekend talking about Truth Social, like the fledgling Trump social media network. And he's talking about like, oh yeah, like we're doing, like we have more engagement on our network than Facebook does right now. Like, or than Twitter does right now. Like it's like they're not doing anything and we're doing great. Meanwhile, like this thing, like this network is so fucking porous and so shitty. Trump won't even use it because he doesn't want to use it until it's proven to be a success.
His own thing.
So like he won't even post statuses on it because it's still like it's seen as a failure right now. So he doesn't want to associate himself with it if it's a failure. Devin Nunes left.
What is it called again?
Truth Social. Devin Nunes
left Congress for this.
Literally left Congress. Left a powerful co-chairmanship, or not co-chairmanship, but like minority chair. Could have been the chairman of the Intelligence Committee. Left that voluntarily to head up this fucking business venture, which is fucking swirling the drain right
yep,
now.
It's not going to do well. I mean, I'm not installing that shit on my phone. Fuck off. Like, no, absolutely not. And I don't recommend people do it to like troll. Like, don't give them subscribers.
No, Lord,
like,
no.
Don't give them subscribers. Please just don't. Let it die. Yeah. But yeah, of course. Of course it's not going to do well. It's going the same route as Trump steaks and Trump vodka. Vodka. This guy doesn't even drink. He doesn't drink. That's why Trump vodka died. He doesn't tell the truth. That's why this will die. So yeah, it all makes sense. And he doesn't know how to eat a steak because he's a fucking child. So yeah, it all makes total sense. GOP candidates are becoming allergic to debates. Look, there was a while back that we talked about how the RNC was like, maybe our candidate doesn't do debates. And it's like, I think we know which candidate you're talking about.
Yeah.
But apparently that sort of thing has spread to the nuttier of the real nuts of the party. Herschel Walker, a guy who held a gun to his ex-wife's head and said, "I'll blow your fucking brains out," apparently, who Mitch McConnell can't stop endorsing. Why? We don't know.
He's a Georgia hero, Jay.
Okay. Congratulations. you carried a football and played a child's game. Wow. Good job. You got brain damage for all your fans. So Herschel Walker was like, "Nah, I'm not going to do the whole talking and such in front of a crowd." Are you shocked by this?
Oh no, are you kidding me? Like I've caught glimpses of like TV hits that he's done on Fox and stuff like that. There's no way in hell this dude wants to be on a debate stage with anybody. Because as we've seen, the quickest way to expose someone as a fucking fraudulent politician is to put them up against an actual politician in a debate and watch them flounder. Trump won 2016, but he got fucking pantsed by Hillary Clinton in every single one of those debates. And then again, like somehow was worse against Joe Biden. Like, I don't know how that's fucking possible.
Oh, he was 100% worse. He was
100%. But not only was he worse substantively, but like he got clowned on by Joe Biden constantly.
Dude, one of the greatest moments ever. Like, look, only Joe Biden could have pulled that, by the way.
Correct.
Only Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is infamous for being like, for shooting from the hip and just saying some wild shit out of his mouth. So when he was like, "Man, would you shut up?" It was like, no, that seems about right for Joe Biden. Like, no, he could keep it tucked only for so long. Like, Obama could have never done that, right? It'd be like, "This is uncouth," or whatever. Joe Biden, they were like, "Yeah, that's about right." Like, I'm actually surprised.
Frankly, we're shocked it took a debate to have to get here. So.
Right. I'm surprised he was that nice. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. God damn. Big Joey is speaking. This is malarkey. Like, I'm actually surprised it remained that fucking cool. But he's the only one who could have pulled it off because he had that reputation that he did. For the first time in his entire career, him shooting his mouth off actually worked to his advantage, because he said the thing that everyone was thinking, even Republicans, like, dude, shut up and just let this guy speak. Like, fine, you don't agree with him, but let the guy speak. And it was like, and I like, it was like a national cathartic moment of like,
yeah,
thank you, Jesus. We've been saying it for 4 years. And it was like, and I truly believe he won a lot of people over for that one moment. Like, he really did in that debate. Whatever he said subsequently did not ring nearly as heavy as him telling him to shut up. It just didn't. Like, and it's, you know, it's like Reagan, right? Nobody remembers that Reagan debate. Everybody remembers, oh, here he goes again, right? Like, there's that line where everybody is like, you're fucking saying the same shit you've been saying, dude. And like, so no matter what you said after that, people didn't hear that shit. They just remember that fucking hit line. And look, it's like, does anybody remember what Bloomberg said? No, you just remember Elizabeth Warren carrying
a machine gun by Liz Warren.
Yeah. On all you remember is Elizabeth Warren carrying his fucking severed head around in a JanSport bag. Like, that's all you remember. So
no, yeah. But yeah, Herschel Walker being forced to take a position in a debate and be forced to like expound on that position. Absolutely not. Like, watch Herschel Walker talk about anything. Like, Herschel Walker tries to do the Trump thing where he takes like the context clue that he's given and tries to like guess as to what it's about and what he should say. But whereas Trump is a born fucking bullshitter and can at least string the sentence together to make it sound somewhat competent, even though it just devolves into repeating the same thing over and over again. Tremendous, like, kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Herschel Walker just kind of goes like all over the fucking map with it.
Yeah. He's not bright because he's had his
and again, like he, and again, we, like we say that he's got like fucking CTE flippantly to mock it,
but he does,
but he probably does. Like, in all honesty, the dude probably literally has brain damage from playing professional football.
Yeah. How the Republican Party, this is their guy. Like, this is their lead guy. Like, he's going to win.
Because he's black, Jay. That is the only reason why.
There's another black guy on the stage. Pick that guy. Pick that guy. There's actually, there's multiple black guys.
Sorry,
like
he's black a famous black person. Does that narrow it down a little bit more? So there he goes.
Yeah. All right. Because I don't know those other two black guys. But
again, like they're literally looking at that race and saying, oh, Georgian, like Raphael Warnock beat, you know, this white woman. So clearly Georgians want to vote for a black guy. So let's find this black guy that we know. Hey, Herschel Walker, want to be in the Senate? Do I have to know anything? Absolutely not. You're a Republican. Like, it's actually a detriment to be knowledgeable.
Yeah. Please don't read a book.
Just vote for what we tell you to vote for. Like, that's all you got to do.
Yeah. I just don't, I don't know how long Republicans are going to be able to pull this. Like, is he not going to debate Raphael Warnock?
I doubt it.
Like, but did he watch the John Ossoff thing? But that happened with John Ossoff, where John Ossoff was like, cool, let me just get up here and just style on this dude for an entire, like, 2 hours. Well,
and that's the thing. Like, it's contingent on the broadcasters of the debate, the people holding the debate, to punish them for not participating. Like, you don't want to participate? Fine. Your opponent has a 2-hour forum to dunk all over you, and you don't get to defend yourself. Yeah. Like, he's going to be able to take all of our questions. He's going to be able to answer them and tell everyone about how his solution, his plan is way better than what you got going on because you believe in this, this, and this, and you don't get to refute any of it because you're not fucking here. And that's how you fix that. Right. Like, not doing what NBC did. When Trump was like, oh, I'm not going to show up, and they're like, all right, we're going to do a Biden town hall, and then NBC's like, well, we'll do a Trump interview, like programming against it. I'm like, that's not what you do.
No, it did work out, luckily.
Yeah,
but what it should be is when you sign up for the debates, you sign up like there should be a rule. You sign up for the debates, and if you don't show in the contract or whatever that you sign, you're not allowed to do any TV appearances on that same time. In that same day. You're not. Like, as a competing time, you're not allowed to. Like, and I would say within a, like, 12-hour block of time, right? To just, like, completely make sure they don't try some bullshit. I'd be like, if you don't show up to a debate, you cannot go to any other media outlet and broadcast. Otherwise, we will sue your ass. And like for real money, like not half, not like bullshit money. Like again, I think the debate should be a part, like that should be written into the actual rules of the election. Right? I actually don't like that MSNBC or Fox or Facebook or any of these companies host this shit. It shouldn't be hosted by that. It should be, that shit should be publicly funded, and it takes place at like the White House or wherever. It should not take place in an arena. It shouldn't take place in front of a fucking huge audience. None of that shit. It should just be those two jackasses sitting in front of two podiums. That's it. Broadcast, answer the questions or don't. That's it. That's it. There's no, it sure would be there's nice. no fucking, I'm bringing Bill Clinton's accusers or whatever. None of that shit. All that like Hollywood nonsense. No, it's just the two of you debating.
Well, right? that was the refreshing part about the last election is that since COVID, like the only benefit to COVID was that because we had that going on, we didn't have live crowds there. So you didn't have to worry about like, you know, politicians teeing up applause lines or, you know, any of this bullshit. Like it was actually like, hey, let's fucking debate. You're not pandering to anybody in the audience. So just answer the fucking question.
Yep. That's it. Like, I don't want to hear anything else. Like, I just don't want to hear anything else. Like, fuck that.
Yeah. Also skipping out on debates, apparently, is Tad Cadworth, because I guess he had a cocaine orgy that he had to go to.
I mean, look, that when you're on a bender, baby, like, what you gonna do? You, like, this coke isn't gonna snort itself. Like, I got shit to do. Old Tad is in trouble. They're still mulling over whether or not he's going to get his ass straight tossed out of Congress, which
there are 8 people running in that primary for that seat right now.
Apparently. Really?
Yeah. eight Republicans specifically. Sorry. I should have been more specific there.
I'd love to see him get tossed.
It'd be great.
Look, are we past the hour mark?
Oh, we have to be at this point.
Oh, yeah. We're 101. All right. Here we go. Let me say something really shitty. I want to see him get tossed out of this fucking out of office like that wheelchair kid Mac and Me in that clip. Like, that's what I want. I just don't need this guy in Congress. I think it is time for this guy to go. I think it is time to start clearing house on this, like this Nutter caucus. I think it's over. Like, get this guy the fuck out of there. Just get this guy the fuck out of there.
And again, like we talked about two episodes ago. He's not serving the interest of what a politician or what a congressperson should do for his district. Like he's just not like he's just there for to fucking own the libs. Like that's literally his only purpose is to raise his profile and own libs. It's all he wants.
I mean, who doesn't want to own the libs, Brad? Own the libs. Cause you got nothing else happening. I mean, I guess what he'll do if he doesn't get elected, I guess he'll just go on another like Nazi tour, right? Like, hey, Hitler peed here once, or like, this is the part where Hitler tried to kill more Jews. I love that.
It's kind of a shame for him. It's kind of a shame for him that the timing didn't work out correctly, because I feel like that he would have been a really big asset on like the Le Pen campaign in France right now. Like, it's a shame that he happens to be having a job to do while that's all going on.
We brought our American wheelchaired Nazi here to back Le Pen. She's back. Yeah, let's talk about Le Pen just for a moment.
Yeah, sure.
A buddy of mine asked, you know, he was like, he's like, are you shocked to see this sort of rise of authoritarians in Europe? He's like, I really am. And I was like, no, I'm not.
It's cyclical.
It is cyclical. Like that's a big part of it. The cycles are large, right? Like they're not like they're not every 10 years. They're, you know, it's like, you know, you got some time.
Multi-generational.
They're multi-generational. But I also said, like, look, we are disconnected from, like, this generation is rather disconnected from the shit that happened, right? In Europe. It's all storybook type of shit now. Mm-hmm. But also, like, folks on the left are just like, there's so much of the, like, if we all just do this kumbaya shit, it will all work out. No, dude. You guys, you ever read up on World War II? Like, this isn't, this wasn't no kumbaya and nothing. Like, people had to get shot, and it was like, oh shit, okay, like, we got it. Like, a lot of people died, right? I shared that clip with you and Andy where it was like, this woman is representative from Ireland is like, we need peace in Ukraine.
The only way to succeed for peace is through diplomacy, is what she said.
Sit down and have diplomacy with Vladimir Putin. And the guy from Bulgaria is like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
Meanwhile, I'm like looking at this woman. And I'm like, you're Irish. You're definitely older than 30. Were you alive in the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, dude.
In Ireland.
Yeah, like.
Or in the United Kingdom.
Like, the IRA did not use diplomacy to get their point across. Yeah. As I said, like, because she's like, we need to use our words instead of guns. And I was like, yeah, they use their words. We're going to blow up buses in London. Mark our words. And they did that shit, like, with people on it. Like, they're just like, fuck off. So,
but like you said, it's just long enough for the people who had the lived experience
to have died
through that stuff to be dead. And so, like, you're not getting the firsthand information anymore. It, like you said, it's a textbook stuff now. And textbooks, you know, as much as they try to, you know, deliver the information and things like that, it's still sanitized. It's still words on a page. Like, it's not the same as hearing, you know, it told from a firsthand perspective.
Incidentally, sorry to cut you off, but no, that's why if folks are aware of this, like, there is a major push to record the stories of Holocaust survivors. That's the reason for that, right?
Yeah.
They don't want you to write it down. They want that shit in HD. Like, so you can, like, look at a video and be like, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened to my cousin, my mom and my dad were killed, bop, 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 bop. Like, that's why they do that, right? Like, there's a museum here in Baltimore, the Visionary Art Museum, right? It's like a really, like, crazy wackadoodle museum. It's all modern art, right? Like, it'll slightly give you a headache, right? Because it's just like a lot of things going on. But it's visually quite stunning in a lot of ways. But they have a wing of the Visual Art Museum, which is really fun, that is just about, like, Jewish folks telling their stories of the survival of the Holocaust, right? Through art, through these videos and stuff like that. That's what it is about. And that has been up for years. They don't want you to forget that. And they have every incentive to make sure that you don't forget. And this is the reason, because younger generations go, was it really that bad? Listen to how people talk about slavery, dude. Listen to how they talk about slavery. Was it that bad? Like,
again, like, it's fucking horrible. Like, just look at history, though. Like, late 1700s, you had revolution not only in the US, but in parts of Europe as well. They fucking ran the tape back in 1848, the fucking summer of revolution across the whole fucking continent over there. And then what happened, you know, 70 years later, World War I, which directly led into World War II. And that all kicked off. Like, it's about every 50 to 70 years.
Yep.
This shit flares up again because people die and people forget. And some other fucking moron comes along and is like, oh, I'm going to do this stuff. And people don't put two and two together and realize that they're just kind of running the playbook back from authoritarians of yesteryear.
Yep.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And when they realize it's too late.
Yeah. And then people got to get shot. People got to get shot. Right. And it's not, nobody wants to get there. Like, we shouldn't have to get there. Right. We should be learning the lessons of the past. Look, Ron DeSantis's playbook, the don't say gay thing. It's not a Putin playbook. That's what he did. All Democrats are groomers and pedophiles and all that shit. That's what Putin did in Russia to roll back LGBT legislation there. That's what he did to just treat gay folks normal. And Russia's got some of the most virulent fucking anti-gay behavior of almost any country in the world. Like, they just do.
Well, and not only that, but it's the blaming everyone else situation.
Yep.
Like, why does the economy suck? Oh, it's because of illegal immigration. Oh, it's because of this. Oh, it's because of that. Not, you know, never turning the magnifying glass inward. Why is the economy sucking? Oh, probably because we're siphoning all this money off to fucking, you know, the top 1% of the country.
Right, constantly. Because it's a kleptocracy. Like, nah, it's probably the gays.
Yeah, no, you know, it's these guys' fault. And again, that's no different than you know, communist Russia. That's no different, or communist Soviet Union. That's no different than Hitler in Germany. Like, it was not just, oh, like, we hate these people because, like, oh, no, we hate these people, and they're the reason that your life sucks.
Yep. I mean, America has been doing that since forever.
Like, yeah.
They've quite literally been trying to blame black people as a method to get poor white people to be angry. Black people are stealing your jobs. Black people are stealing your jobs? We barely have jobs. Like, what are you talking about? But that's what they do. And it's crazy. So yeah, Le Pen, you know, she's trying to make her her run for it. And look, I told him, I said, look, when she ran in 2016, I believe it was. 2017. It's the 2016-2017 race, as at least Wikipedia has it, right? Mm-hmm. But let's say, yeah, it was a 2017 presidential election that started in April 2016. When she ran, one of the big things was, like, she was mired in, wow, this woman's a fucking crazy bigot, because the Le Pen family are bigots. Wow, she's a crazy bigot. Like, this is unacceptable. France was like, no, what the fuck? Like, get out of here. But it took a minute, right? It took a minute for them to kind of really pay attention and, like, pick up on it and be like, oh, okay, whoa, 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 whoa. Bullet dodged. But when Trump was elected in 2016 in that same time frame, he changed the world. And he made that open bigotry completely acceptable. And when he did that, now she can come back, because it's like, oh, there is no bottom anymore. Yeah. And people are more used to that sort of abject racism, people who supported her or people who would have supported her, but they didn't want to come off as bigots. But now they have a space to go, well, I mean, everybody says stuff like that. So is it that bad what she's saying? And so then it gives her more space. Now, the nice thing is it looks like things are not going great for the conservatives, or whatever the equivalent is.
No, I think the combined, like, so France does kind of like a jungle.
They kind of do a jungle
primary of sorts. Like, yeah. like their regular elections is like the whole thing. And then the top two vote getters move on to a runoff. Right. And so it's her and Macron are the two that are going to be, you know, voted on in the next couple of weeks. But Macron's vote share combined with the vote share of his essentially the left opponent of him, because Macron's like a famous like centrist, is like their combined vote share is considerably higher than Le Pen's was.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing is, if you look, because I was reading a little bit about this the other day, if you look at who is backing Macron, like, yes, it's people that are obviously to the left of him, but it's like the socialists and like the hardcore left is like, we have to stop fucking around. Like, look, fuck Macron. We don't like that guy. Like, this dude's a filthy centrist. But the other option is a Nazi, basically, who will quite literally hand France over on a silver platter to Vladimir Putin. We have to stop. Like, we got to stop infighting for a hot second, get this guy in, then we can yell at him about all the shit he's not doing correctly, but we can save the country. And that is a lesson the left in this country needs to learn. And it is a lesson that somehow they are slowly picking up less, which is really weird.
I'm about to say, they're actually unlearning it, because they learned it.
Yeah, no, I know. It's nuts.
They learned it in the immediate aftermath of Trump being elected, and then, like, we got Biden, and then now all of a sudden we've shifted. It's like we've forgotten what it was like to have Trump as president, and we're just hyper-fixated on what Joe Biden hasn't done.
Right.
Let's not celebrate any of the victories that they have achieved. Let's just focus on all the things that we want him to do that he's not doing.
Yeah.
So we can just be in the same position in fucking, you know, in two more years.
Yeah. I just like you have to build a coalition. Like that is the way, even though they have a more of a, you know, a parliament and all this other stuff and we don't, you still in elections, you still have to build a coalition. If you cross your arms and you sit down and you do nothing, you give space to these guys to win. Let this be.
And that's the thing. Here. Like if you want to not like, I'm tying it back to our election in a couple of years. If you don't want Biden to run, then that's fine. You can take the risk of putting up a very, if he wants to run again, you could take the risk of putting up a good slate of candidates against him and forcing him to go through a primary, which is not a great idea typically for a sitting president, but you know, it is what it is. But whoever, if you beat him, whoever you pick better fucking beat Donald Trump or you're going to look like fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And personally, I think it'd be great if Biden just stepped aside, but you know,
yeah, I think it's like, look, you save the country from four more years of that fucking asshole. Get in, endorse somebody that like everybody can get behind. Like, and you got to kind of work that in the background. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, listen, you got to get your AOC types. You got to get your Chuck Schumer types. You got to get everybody, your Nancy Pelosi. You got to get everybody on board. If you're going to step aside and be like, this is what we're going to do. Right. If it's Harris, great. Like, I mean, that's the obvious choice, I guess. But I don't think she's that great of a presidential candidate at this point. I really just don't. And that's nothing against her. I just think she's been largely absent. Like, we haven't seen her enough, right? It's not like – I don't know what his relationship to Harris is like. It seems positive. It seems incredibly positive. But, like, that could be total bullshit. I don't know. But, like, we saw Joe Biden all the time during the Obama administration, right? Like – and that could just be his personality, and maybe that's not Harris's personality. I don't know, but I don't think she's the proper choice to like step aside and give her the go ahead. But let's say he had to pick somebody. You need to pick somebody that all of those people can go, get in a room and be like, "All right, we're on." Because you need there needs to be no doubt when that person is presented. Like, you got to have the squad be like, hell yes, let's fucking go. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are like, hell yeah, let's go. It can't be, okay.
Like, I don't know who that person is, unfortunately.
I don't know. I don't know who it is either. Elizabeth Warren. But, I don't know who it would
be. If only.
If only.
Sorry, she's a little too old for my liking. So
she is. She's too old now.
Yeah.
God, she would have been awesome at like 60 years old. She would have been
cool.
She's been a force to reckon with, man.
Would have been pretty fucking awesome.
I would have, again, I don't mind her carrying around the severed head of Michael Bloomberg in a JanSport bag. It's fine. Liz Cheney, I forgot to link this story. Liz Cheney disputes a report about January 6th panel split over Trump criminal referral. She's like, nah, yo, we're not split. Like, we're not split at all. Fuck that guy. She says, there's not really a dispute on the committee. Like, the debate centers on whether making a referral a largely symbolic act would backfire by politically tainting the Justice Department's expanding investigation into January 6th assault and what led up to it. Nah, fuck that. That's not what what Liz Cheney says. She's like, quote, we have not made a decision about the referrals on the committee, but it's actually clear that what President Trump was dealing with and what a number of people around him were doing, that they knew it was awful, that they did it anyway. So, yeah, she's not buying it. So, look, I agree with her. I think that committee is largely in agreement. I think it's nonsense to believe that they're kind of not. Just considering, well, like, you can watch what's happening with them.
Well, there was reporting that apparently, like, Zoe Loughran said something like they weren't sure if they wanted to do it because then they were afraid like Republicans would hammer them with it, and of course, like left leaning Twitter, like, you know, made fun of the Democrats for being like, oh, like, you know, they're afraid to do even the morally correct thing just because they're afraid of how it would play politically, even though they're in the right, essentially, kind of bullshit. So it's but I don't think this committee would ever publicly show any divisiveness, honestly. No, like, I think they can't afford it together. Yeah, and they present a united front. So
The next story is an interesting one, right? This is a sort of a sub-story to this. At the same time this is all going on, at the same time that Elizabeth or Liz Cheney has been ostracized and is quote-unquote no longer a Republican, Cheney again breaks fundraising records in Wyoming House race. Interesting. Congresswoman Liz Cheney raised almost $3 million in campaign contributions over the first 3 months of the midterm election year, continuing her record-breaking fundraising streak as she attempts to defend her seat against Trump-backed challenger. The third-term Wyoming Republican began April with $6.8 million cash on hand, while her opponent, Harriet Hageman, began the final 4 months leading up to the August 16th Republican primary with more than $1 million in her campaign coffers. So Liz Cheney proves something, that you can be big enough to outlast the Trump bullshit. Also, maybe this whole Trump endorse you thing isn't as powerful as people thought it was.
Well, the lesson that I take from it too is that, once again, a reminder, national politics is not local politics. Just because someone is not looked at favorably on the national level doesn't mean that they still don't have the support locally of their own constituents. Look at Mitch McConnell, the least popular politician in the country nationally, yet somehow gets reelected in Kentucky every 6 years.
Yeah,
without
easily. Right. Easily. Yeah. Right. Like, it's not is he going to make it? Like, it's down to the wire. No, it's never down to the wire for Mitch McConnell. Like,
yeah,
ever.
Like, Joe Manchin sucks ass, hated by all Democrats, wins 70% of the vote in West Virginia. Like, yeah.
Means nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I found that curious, that with all the machinations and shenanigans, that the Republican Party tried to run on Liz Cheney for speaking out against Donald Trump, it's not making a difference.
I'm not surprised at all. Like I knew this was going to be the end result of the thing. Like, when Matt Gaetz went to campaign against her in fucking Wyoming, I'm just like, do you think Matt Gaetz is going to move the needle to get Liz Cheney out in a Republican primary? Like, get the fuck out of here.
So they're like, don't you try to fuck teenagers? He's like, I gotta go. I mean, I didn't know she was 18, but then I found out, and then once she turned 18, I continued like a creep. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Oh boy, this story.
I wish Andy was on here.
Buddy, Jared Kushner's in trouble, man. The Republicans take presidential children getting favors from foreign governments very seriously. He's in a world of trouble right now.
Where's his laptop? That's what I want to know. Where's the Kushner laptop? I want to see it. It's made of dollar bills. He's cashing in. Kushner firm gets $2 billion with a B from a Saudi fund run by the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, aka MBS.
I love everything about this story. Literally everything.
Go ahead.
It's so good. So basically, Jared Kushner is becoming a money manager for Mohammed bin Salman.
Yeah,
essentially. Yeah. So like he has an investment firm. And apparently 6 months after the Trump administration ended, he got this major investment from MBS. Now, let me make it very clear to you that the Saudi Investment Fund, which is the actual, organization that gave Kushner the money,
right,
that is headed up by MBS, did not recommend giving $2 billion to Jared Kushner.
I wouldn't have done that.
Because they said he doesn't have experience as a money manager, so this creates a serious risk for our investment. It would be a bad PR move for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to do that.
Yeah, you think?
And we just don't think this is a really good idea. And MBS is like, I got you. Like, I see where you're coming from and all, but Jared's my bro. So we're going to go ahead and do this. And they gave him a 1.25% like investment management fee. So basically every year he gets 1.25% of that money just for managing the money, which is $25 million. Now, also an investor are also invested in, I should say, by the Saudi government, former Trump Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. It gets better. A guy that actually has a history of being an effective money manager. Dude worked for Goldman Sachs.
Yeah,
he was a Hollywood producer of many like notable films. So like the dude knows what he's doing. Like if you're going to trust your money with somebody, Steve Mnuchin, not a bad guy to trust your money with if you want a return on your investment. They gave Steve Mnuchin $1 billion and they gave him a 1% asset management fee.
Of course.
So they gave Mnuchin half the money and less of a management cut, despite the fact that he is wildly more confident to handle such an investment.
Dude, it's just a slush fund, man. This is just a slush fund.
Or as many people say, also possibly a payoff for Jared Kushner's role in making sure that the White House did not have any repercussions for the kingdom after murdering and then hacking up with a bone saw Jamal Khashoggi.
As you do. Yeah. I mean, that guy was talking shit, like writing about our corruption. So we murdered him and put him down a drain.
This is happening in the open. Like it's just happening right out in the light of day in front of us. And this is what happens when you know you're not going to be held accountable for shit that you do.
That's right.
This is what happens when you know you're bulletproof because at least half the country doesn't have the desire or the will to hold you accountable for this shit.
No, they don't. They don't. And look, Jared Kushner will 100% get away with this because we will do nothing about it. But God, I want to see this guy fucking swing for his bullshit. I really do.
But meanwhile, Jay,
financially,
let's make sure,
or otherwise,
let's make sure that we interview the guy that supposedly serviced Hunter Biden's supposed laptop, because it's very important that we get to the bottom of the Hunter Biden, Burisma, Ukraine, China, you know, whatever connection, because that's we care very much about
the children,
family of presidential children of presidents using their connections to enrich themselves. We care very much about that. It's very important that we get to the bottom of this Hunter Biden thing. Who is Jared Kushner? Is how Republicans will phrase it. Like, what do you think about Jared Kushner? I've never heard of him. Who is that?
Jared Kushner is related to the president by marriage. That's not the same. Hunter Biden is his blood child. That's the difference. Yeah, no, they will do nothing. Now, look, there seems to be some issues with the Hunter Biden thing, and that's fair. Investigate it. But you can't just ignore this. Like, that's my thing. I'm totally fine with you investigating the Hunter Biden thing. Not about the fucking stupid laptop. That's dumb. But about whether or not he was, like, getting kickbacks from some company. Investigate it. I don't give a fuck. I don't wear a Biden hat around. Okay. Yeah. Like I don't have some sort of sycophantic feeling about Hunter Biden or Joe Biden at all. So investigate him. If he did something wrong, throw him in jail. Now keep that same energy with Jared Kushner. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
I don't let the chips fall where they may. You want to take this one? New York Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin arrested on campaign financial.
Yeah, this kind of came in out of nowhere. So New York's Lieutenant Governor basically got charged with campaign finance fraud. Kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Arrested by the Justice Department. But to me, the notable part of the story was that he resigned his office pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
Which in this day and age is kind of shocking.
Yeah. Brett, since he gave up his office immediately and resigned because he was busted for corruption, what party is he in?
Well, I'm going to guess, since it's New York, that he's probably a Democrat.
Shocking news, right? Republicans would see this story and be like, look at this Democratic corruption. And that's a fair point. But I would look at the story and be like, look at this Democratic corruption. Then this guy had the moral clarity to resign from his position because he knew he did something wrong. Republicans would never do that.
And the fact that they fucking indicted him in the first place. Yes. Hello. You know what I mean? Like the fact that they were like, no, like I get he's the sitting lieutenant governor of New York, but he might have done some crimes. There's enough evidence to at least get an indictment that he did some crimes.
Right. And that's fine. Again, I've heard zero Democrats go, this is a witch hunt. This is unfair. No, they just go, oh, is he corrupt? All right.
Get him out of there.
Get him out of there. Get a new lieutenant governor. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, we're not sycophants to our
kinda,
to our
kind of how it's supposed to work, quite honestly.
Turns out.
Yeah. Would be really cool if Republicans might, you know, acknowledge that at some point that hey, maybe we don't want the guy under federal indictment running for office or sitting in office or this, that, or the other thing. Gonna be real interesting if anything comes to this Matt Gaetz situation, is all I'm gonna say.
Well, Kevin McCarthy said if he gets indicted, like he's done.
Okay.
I don't believe Kevin McCarthy.
Sure. Okay.
At all. No.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that.
No. He get indicted, they'll go winch hunt, witch hunt, and they will find it tooth and nail.
Yeah, we'll run that quote back once the indictment comes down and we'll see what happens.
Oh yeah. He
are you even gonna remove him from committees, Kevin McCarthy? Like literally the bare minimum you could do.
No, he will do nothing. He might give him more responsibilities.
I'm like Matt Gaetz, be like, I'm ready for Speaker of the House.
Yeah, he's like,
sounds like a great idea.
Sounds like a great idea. Why not?
But yeah, there are still politicians that have some level of shame, if you can believe that. I can't. And again, that's not a Republican exclusive thing. It took weeks to get Chris Cuomo out when there's credible evidence against him.
Yeah, you had to throw that guy all the way against the wall. He was like, yeah, you got
me. Yeah. And now he's thinking about running again.
What?
You've not seen that? He's putting feelers out there. He's putting about running again for governor. Yeah.
Because he thinks
he was done dirty. How positively Trumpian of him. I can't wait till his brother Chris.
He thinks he was done dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I can't wait till him and campaign manager Chris Cuomo are jumping into the race. The fucking Cuomo Brothers Revenge Tour 2024.
Yeah, I will throw you down a fucking flight of stairs. Like, yeah, we got it, Chris Cuomo. We got it. You work out, we got it. That's crazy. I did not hear that he's thinking about running again.
Again, like, he's put some feelers out. He's put some things out there to I think they did a poll or there's some poll or something that like people were like, oh, like who would you most likely vote for? And it was him and a lot of the other like potential candidates. And like he got the highest vote share. And like I don't know if it was him or like his like official Twitter account or whatever, like his campaign's Twitter account was like, oh, look, Chris Cuomo would be the leading Democratic candidate, or Andrew Cuomo would be the leading Democratic candidate if the gubernatorial election was held today. I'm just like, don't do this.
Don't do that. Like, don't please do this. Don't throw yourself in easily beatable and then let a Republican in. Please don't do that. Like, yeah. Ugh. Stop being, look, I don't know what it is about politics. Like, I follow it. I read a lot about it. I'm incredibly interested in the people who are in it. But I will never understand having to leave office because of a scandal and then thinking you could make your way back. Like, and like a really shitty scandal, right? Like not some like trumped up nonsense, no pun intended. Like, like a real, like, yo, you sexually assaulted this woman, you know, or you know, you were violent or something like that, or some sort of political corruption, and then thinking you can just ease your way back in. Like, I just let it go.
Obama famously said, you have to be a little bit egotistical to run for president of the United States, because you're basically saying, like, I know better than anybody else how the country should be run.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like that some people take that level of egotism to an unhealthy degree in some cases, where they truly believe they are above it all. And, you know, misgivings be damned.
Right.
I'm still the guy. Like, right. Like I'm the guy that's going to fucking get it done.
Well, look, I'll just say this, and I think we'll end it on this point. Look, if you have, you know, if you're trying to ease your way back into politics, or, you know, start out in politics, and you have some, you know, some issues, like holding a gun to your ex-wife's head, it's a pretty big issue. Like, I don't know, like... You know, maybe you could do it.
It's a heck of an issue.
It's a heck of an issue. That's a wild statement, dude. It's a heck of an issue. Like, yeah, dude, he's 100% right. And, like, his face, like what the fuck? Don't answer that. Like, that's a crazy thing.
Like I said, it's the same face when Trump handed him, like, the fucking charts of whatever whatever that. Like,
what?
Like this.
What is this? Doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about? I love that he talked to the current president as if he was a fucking moron, which he was. But, like, yeah. I love that he was just like, no, what? Like, no, I do not accept this. I do not accept any of this. Yeah, shout out to British journalists, man.
Like, Australian.
Yeah,
Jonathan Swan is an Aussie. So.
Yeah, like he's just like, yo, I'm from down under. I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm asking these questions.
It just figures that our two best journalists are definitely not American at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mehdi Hasan is Mehdi Hasan.
Import more fucking British journalists and yeah. Australian journalists. British journalists don't fuck around, man.
No.
Like we should get all of them.
No. Like, I feel like that might be the way to fix the world, is we have a journalist exchange program, right? Because I feel like American journalists wouldn't kowtow to the system in Europe so easily, because they're not born and bred in it. They would challenge it more. And I feel like that's the reason why you can bring people over from, like, other countries to hear, because they're like, this is bullshit. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So I feel like you need a journalist exchange program. Like, I think that's actually a pretty good idea. But yeah, Mehdi Hasan is another one. I think he's probably the best. And he's so good, and so he has a refusal to, like, just take bullshit and just accept it, that sometimes when he interviews people I'm like, please answer all his questions. Please just answer his questions. Because he's just going to, you know, he's not going to let it go. Like, don't try to bullshit him. Like, just answer his questions directly.
Dude, I would love to see him, like, get an hour with, like, politicians that you want to get answers from. Because that, he is the type of dude that would be like, look, I've got 20 questions I want to ask you, but I'm only going to ask you 5 if you're going to fuck around, because we're going to sit here and we're going to stew on this, and I'm going to fucking ask it every which way I can.
Yep.
To get you to answer the question.
Yep. Until you just relent and be like, fine.
And he does the thing where he's like, you know, like when you won't answer the question, he's like, so you're saying that you're okay with this other thing, like the opposite of what I'm asking you. Like, so you're okay with, like, the worst thing that I'm suggesting.
Yep.
Because you're not answering this question, right? And they're like, no, I'm just saying that. He's like, but again, he's like, you're refusing to say, you know, that you condemn this. So I have to assume that you are in approval of this really bad thing.
Yep. It's actually a great journalistic tactic.
Yeah.
Because if they don't say anything, then you just tag them with the most insane shit. Like, oh, okay, cool. You're just killing puppies. That's your fucking new policy. Cool. Got it.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. Killing kittens is what I'm into. Like, oh, okay. Got it. Thanks. Thank you for finally answering the question, you psychopath. So yeah, Mehdi Hasan is a dangerous person to get an interview with, man. Like,
yeah. Well, and even later in that McConnell interview, like when they're talking about Clarence Thomas, like he's just like, you know, McConnell's like, oh, he's like, I don't know. Nobody's ever questioned Clarence Thomas's ethics. And John Small's like, no, people are literally questioning his ethics because he's ruling on cases that possibly involve his wife. And like like McConnell did the thing that McConnell does where he's like, if you want to sit, he's like, we got a limited amount of time. He's like, I don't know how long you want to sit on this issue. He's like, and on this question, he's like, but. And Jonathan Swan like called him on his bullshit. He's like, look, he's like, I've seen enough interviews with you to know that when you don't want to answer a question, that's kind of your line. So we'll move on.
I'd have been like, I got all the time in the world, dog. Like, don't worry about it. Stay right here. Don't go nowhere. All right. That is it for us. We will be back next week with another episode.
See ya.